Good morning. As you probably know, we're studying Jeremiah on Monday mornings, and I wish every one of you were doing it with us because it is such a blessing. And you get a picture of a God that is so big. He's so much more than this wimpy God that we see in society today. He's a God who is holy. He's a God who says in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." One of the themes that runs throughout Jeremiah is that God's people didn't know him. The Word of God, the book that revealed who he was and how he had commanded his people to live, had literally been lost in the house of God. And if you know the story, you know that when they were cleaning it out and they found the book, they took it to King Josiah. And as he had it read to him, he tore his clothes in repentance. And it sparked such a revival in Judah for a short time because he repented and he made all kinds of reforms. But it didn't last long because, as God says, the people were stubborn and they were stiff-necked and they were proud and they said, "No, God, we're going to walk according to our hearts." In other words, "No thanks, but I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way." And you know, the problem with that we find in Jeremiah is that Jeremiah tells us that God says the heart is deceitful above all things. And we are deceived into thinking that our way is good. You know, Proverbs says in two different places the exact same things. It says this: "There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death." There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. Put another way, in the New Living Translation, it says, "There is a path before each person that seems right." Well, yeah, that seems like the way it should be. That seems like the way that I should live. But the Bible says it ends in death. And as we've studied Jeremiah, one of the things that we all notice is how Jeremiah's time is so much like the time that we find ourselves living in. When the Word of God has been lost in the house of God, and we don't really know God. We think we do. There's a way that seems right to us. It seems like the way God ought to be, but we really don't know God because we've lost his word in the midst of the house of God. The church has lost the word of God. We don't know and understand that he's a God who does loving kindness and justice and righteousness throughout the earth. That he's the creator who is in charge. And that this world is his creation, and he's the one that gets to say, "This is how it's supposed to be." You know, I love the song, maybe you've heard it, by Matt Maher, called "The Lord's Prayer." And the subtitle is "It's Yours." And I don't know if y'all listen to Christian radio or not, but when it comes on and I'm in the car by myself, I am screaming that line at the top of my lungs. "It's yours, all yours. The kingdom is yours." And the words of that song say, "Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this daily Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us. As we forgive the ones who sinned against us, forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. It's yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours forever and ever. The kingdom is yours. And I was thinking this morning as we were driving in and I was listening to the song that we were going to do, I Speak Jesus. As I was listening to that, I was thinking, you know, it's not that the name of Jesus is a magic word. It's not I speak Jesus and just the name of Jesus is a magic word and I can speak it over you. I can speak it over my family. I can speak it to depression and all of that. It's not a magic word. But when we speak the name of Jesus, we're speaking the kingdom of God. Because Jesus is the King. Do you get that? When we speak the name of Jesus over a situation or over a life, we're saying, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it's yours. You're the King. You're the King, Jesus. Be King here. Be King in my life. Be King in my heart. Be King in my family. That's what we're saying when we sing that song, I Speak Jesus. Because the only way that we're going to be rid of the fear and the anxiety and the sin in our lives is when His kingdom reigns in us. When Jesus reigns as King in us, then we will truly be free. That's what it means to speak the name of Jesus. When we say the Lord's Prayer here every Sunday, do we realize what we're praying? Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Because it's yours. All yours. The kingdom is yours. The power is yours. The glory is yours. It's all yours. I watched a really short YouTube video this weekend on why people are leaving the church in droves. I mean, look around. We've lost people. Why are people leaving the church in droves by the millions, especially in the younger generation? They're leaving the church in droves. And you know what this guy said? It's because we don't know the fear of the Lord. We don't know who God is. You read the book of Jeremiah and you get a glimpse of this God who is to be feared. We don't know that the kingdom is His, that the glory is His, that the honor is His. And so we think we can just go live our own way and we can do it my way. And God says, please, please listen to me. Please hear my heart. I love you. I want to give you life and I want to give you abundant life. But it only comes when you live in my kingdom. It only comes when you live in my kingdom. God hasn't changed from the days of Jeremiah. He's still the same. Yes, He sent Jesus to be our Savior, to save us from our sins, to save us from the penalty, the punishment of our sins. But He didn't come just to save us from hell. He came to save us from the power of sin. That's what the Bible teaches. He came to save us from the power of sin so that we can live holy, godly, righteous lives so that we can truly walk humbly with Him. Now, our scripture this morning is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Paul started preaching on 2 Peter last week, and he's going to be able to just pick up right where he left off next week. Because really, all I want to look at is that one verse, verse 5, that says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. In view of what? In view of what Paul preached last week. In view of the fact that verses 3 and 4, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the corruption, the world's corruption caused by human desires. Do you see what He's saying? He's saying, in view of the fact that by His divine power, God has given us everything we need to live this godly life that He has called us to, in the very promises that He has given to us in His Word. So where are we going to find our life and the ability to live the way that He's called us to live? We're going to find it in His Word, in the very promises that He has given us in His Word. So I want to ask you this morning, are you struggling to live a godly life? Are you struggling to escape the world's corruption and your own human lustful desires? I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but according to this, it's because we don't know God. It's because we're not living by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. So I just want to focus on those three words this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Make every effort. Make every effort. Are you making every effort to respond to God's promises? Are you making every effort? You know, I really enjoy football. And I love Patrick Mahomes. I don't know why. I think he's cute. He reminds me of my niece's son. His facial expressions and everything. You know, I played fantasy football this year, and I had a league. I didn't win. Steve helped me with it. And one of the reasons I didn't win is because my first pick was Patrick Mahomes. And if you know anything about fantasy football, a quarterback probably should not be your first pick. Okay? It probably should be a running back or a wide receiver, because some of them make 40, 50 points a game. And Patrick, I was good this year if he got over 20. You know, I may have told y'all that my fantasy name was Mahomes is where my heart is. And then in the middle of the season, I had to change it to Mahomes broke my heart. But this morning, I confess, I watched 12 minutes of highlights from the Chiefs game last night because Steve wasn't going to pay the subscription fee for me to be able to watch it on the TV. But I think one of the reasons that I like him so much is because he wants to win. You know, he got fined $50,000 this year, and his coach got fined $100,000 because he pitched a toddler's tantrum because the referee made a stupid call. It was a legitimate call. I mean, he didn't argue about that. It was just, you know, why are you calling that? Nobody ever calls that. He pitched a tantrum. And then he pitched another one the next week, fussing at his offensive line. Because he was losing, and he's not used to losing, okay? But I love him because he cares. He makes every effort. And I was thinking about that this morning. That's what God, when He looks at 3 Point, He's saying to us this morning, are you making every effort to know me? Do you want it? As bad as those Kansas City Chiefs act like they want that Super Bowl ring again. Do we want it? Do we want to know him? Or do we just want to do it our way? I want to know him. I want to know him. Somebody told me recently about the Jeremiah study. Well, you know, I've just never been studious like you are. Huh? I've never been studious. I went to Georgia Tech when I was a senior in high school because I was going to be a doctor and I wanted to get a jump on it. Well, I got up to Georgia Tech and the ratio of guys to girls was 11 to 1 back in 1977. And Sandra, you want to go get some pizza? You want to go do this instead of go to chemistry or calculus? Well, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not studious, but I want to know God. And it's like Paul says to the Corinthians, you know, every athlete, they work hard. How many of you want to be in good shape? And you work out, and you do things that your body doesn't want to do because you know there's a reward afterwards. That's what God is saying to us. Make every effort to know me because it is going to be so wonderful. It is so worth it. When I sit down to study my Bible, a lot of times I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't know. It's hard. But by the time I get through, I'm like, oh God, you are so good. You are so wonderful. I love you so much. Please have your way in my life. You know, that's what the Word of God does for us, and I don't understand it. But I know it's true. And so I'm just asking us all this morning, are we making every effort to respond to God's promises? Because we can't respond to God's promises if we don't know them. When Peter refers to God's promises, he's talking about the whole Word of God. And we are to make every effort to know him. And all that he has said for our benefit. You know, we've grown lazy. We've grown lazy. Everybody, I see you out there. Yeah, we have grown lazy. We would prefer to sit in front of a TV and let it entertain us. Or look at a screen and mindlessly view other people's lives and thoughts which aren't worth a hill of beans. Right? I mean, how many people just sit there and scroll through Facebook and Instagram and they read what other people think and it's like, well, that was dumb. How many people spend hours looking at YouTube videos or little Instagram videos of hilarious things? They're hilarious, okay, that people post. But you spend all your time doing that. What good is that going to be in eternity? Does that help us to know God? God's heart is breaking. Just like it was breaking in the days of Jeremiah when he was continually calling out to his people, you don't know me. I want you to know me. You are deceived. You think that because you have the temple and you have the law that you're all good. That everything's good between me and you. But you're building all these altars and sacrifices to all these other gods. You're going your own way. You're doing things that never even came into my mind, he tells his people. He says, and you don't know me, and it's not going to be good for you. God's heart is breaking today, too, because his people don't know him. And we're not willing to make the effort to know him. Because God longs to know us and to be near us and to have fellowship with us. That is who God is. And if anybody tells you that God doesn't love you and he doesn't long for you to want to be with him, they're lying to you. Because God longs to be with us. He wants to be with us, but we have to come into his kingdom. He's not coming into ours. I know it sounds boring and it sounds hard and it's too much trouble, but like I said, it's so exciting and wonderful when God starts showing you great and wonderful things that you did not know. That was our first memory verse, and it's on the wall in this room in here where we meet. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. What a promise! What a promise that God has given to anybody who will call to me. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Are we making every effort to possess that promise? Are we getting in our closet, our prayer closet, and saying, okay, God, you said, Jeremiah 33. I love what Pat Medley said one morning in our Bible study. She said, I wake up in the middle of the night and I dialed 333. Jeremiah 33:3. I dialed 333. God, I'm calling to you. You say you'll answer me. Show me great and mighty things that I do not know. As we open his word and we call to him, he'll answer that promise. He'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. And he will show us himself, which is the best thing. The best thing is to know him, because he is the Lord who exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness throughout the earth. Because that's what he delights in. When we draw near to him and he draws near to us, there is nothing in this world that compares to that. We are settling for the bottom of the barrel. It's like C.S. Lewis said about heaven, people not wanting to go to heaven, and I won't get, this is a paraphrase, but he said, it's like a kid playing in the backyard making mud pies when he could have a vacation at the beach. We are settling for scrolling through that Facebook. We're settling for watching that TV program when we could be. And I'm not saying you don't ever do that. I'm not saying you can't ever do that. I'm just saying, do we ever seek God? Do we ever spend time in his word making every effort to know him? There ought to be some time every day that we're seeking him and making an effort to know him. We still got time for that other stuff. God is there. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to make every effort to know him, and he will respond in ways that we cannot imagine. But it will require effort. For some of us, it will require repentance because we have decided we're going to do it our way. So I'm asking you this morning, will you make that commitment? When you leave this place this morning, will you have a new mindset that says, I'm going to make every effort to know him because I want to know him? And I don't know if for you that means joining a Bible study. We'll be glad to have you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock if that's convenient for you. I am running it out through Zoom. If you want the Zoom, you can. Don't even have to get out of your home. It's much better if you do, because we have conversations in there and talk that sometimes don't communicate over Zoom, but you know, start a small group here. There's you know, any hour of the day, any day of the week is open pretty much. For anybody here that wants to just get together with somebody and study the Word of God. You know, in 1984, I was suffering. I was full of sin. I had addictions in my life I couldn't beat. I couldn't do anything. I went to the pastor and said, if this is all there is to Christianity, why would anybody die for this? Because it was not good. I was not good. But I would have told you I was a Christian. And he said to me, Sandra, the best way to grow is to teach. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But in September of 1984, I started a Sunday school class. And if you're going to teach, you've got to study, because you don't want to look like a fool, right? So that's when it started for me. I opened up the Bible and I didn't know a thing, but I said, God, here I am. Teach me. And I don't even want to think about how many years later this is. But you see what I'm saying? You don't have to know anything to start a small group. You don't have to, don't say I'm not qualified because I don't know the Bible. Neither does anybody else around you, probably. You know? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've been studying the Bible for years, but I still don't know everything. There's a lot I don't know and a lot that I forget every day. So I'm begging you to start a small group. If God's laying that on your heart, say, I'll do that. I'll do that. I can do that. You get to pick the day, the time, the hour, whatever. And invite people to come and study the Word of God with you. We've got all kinds of materials back there in the library. You don't even have to look for that. You don't have to spend any money. Just be willing to make the effort. Make the effort. I want to close with a verse from Isaiah 64 that is near and dear to my heart. You know, sometimes in life we get to a point where nothing's going right and we can't fix it. And I don't know about y'all, but just specifically, I've had this blood pressure issue going on with me for a long time now. I never had high blood pressure until one day I took it and it was high because I was feeling weird. And then from then on, it was like every time I went to the doctor, I was terrified and it would be high. And so then, I don't know how y'all's brains work, but maybe I'm kind of on the edge of paranoia and craziness. Got a little bit of mental illness going on up here, I'm sure. But I got to where I thought about blood pressure 24/7. And I would wake up in the middle of the night being like, oh, my God, I think my blood pressure's high. I better take it. And, of course, if you think your blood pressure's high and you're freaking out like that, what's going to happen when you take your blood pressure? It's going to be high. Yes. And I could not control this thing. And I prayed about it. I tried everything. I prayed. I memorized scripture. I quoted scripture. I sang songs. I begged. I pleaded. Everything with God. Till I got to the point to where one morning, not long ago, I said, God, I just give up. I've done everything I know to do to bring my blood pressure down. I mean, I could take blood pressure medicine and it'd still be high. So then they started thinking, well, maybe we need to give you something for anxiety. And I'm like, you need to give me something because I'm crazy. But I went into my prayer closet and I said, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. I'm just going to wait on you because I don't know what else to do. If you don't save me, it's like Jeremiah says, save me and I will be saved, heal me and I will be healed. Because if you don't save me and you don't heal me, it's not going to happen. Because I have done everything I know to do. And I sat down in my prayer closet and I just opened my Bible up just like this. And, you know, I'm not a big advocate of that. I know that it's like, a lot of times I've done that praying, okay, God, speak to me, and it's like nothing, you know. But the other day I did that, and I opened it up, and I got this verse, Isaiah 64, because I just said, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you. And it says, for from days of old, or for since the world began, no ear has heard, and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. Do you hear that? Do you hear that promise in God's word? Since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. That's one of God's great and precious promises, that he wants us to make every effort to know and to believe and to live by. So whatever you're struggling with this morning that you just can't beat, God said, I want you to know, you never heard or seen anything like me. Because I am a God who works for those who make the effort to wait on me. God says if we will put him first, if we will repent of going our own way and put our trust and our hope completely and only in him, Jeremiah also says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes the flesh his strength, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. If we'll wait on him, he'll work for us because he's faithful. He cannot lie. He will do it. So I just encourage you this morning, make every effort to know him and his great promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious and great promises. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fill this place, fill each one of us, and turn our hearts to seek your face. Lord, have your way in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.